Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. We're really studying Luke 1, but I want to
sidebar.
This is a sidebar because Gary was talking about being different at different ages. All right?
That's what I'm talking about.
Verse 12, chapter 2. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. Little children, there is that word technon, darling infant. You're still in Egypt because the only thing you know is that your sins are forgiven, but you're still trying to make it. You're still trying to get to the land of Goshen. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And the reason that it goes from darling infants to fathers to teenagers to young men to fathers. I mean, because it isn't linear. I write unto you, young men, and that's... Excuse me. Because you have overcome the wicked one. The young men there is the position of being in. You've entered the promised land, but you're not yet on the mercy seat. But you've overcome the wicked one at least once. So you know that your mind is your enemy. Not just your mind, your emotions. Then I write unto you, little children. This word for little children is paidon. It means the teenagers. I write unto you, little teenagers, because you've known the Father. That's where nothing helps. Bible study doesn't help. Prayer doesn't help. Exhortation doesn't help. But you only have one anchor, as you've known the Father. And that's a huge deal. Because if you forget that in terms of that time, you're more than likely to go back to Egypt. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from, but note that is not in there. So let's read that without that is. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. It means you've lost your identity. And you have known him from the beginning of time. That's your total identity. Then I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. In the father position, that's the only place where reproduction is possible. You can have illegitimate children as a young man, but they won't last. Well, you've known him since time entered eternity.
Yeah, it's like time indicates linear, but this is, there's nothing linear about this.
But the point of it all is that it's Christ in you, the only hope of glory, and remember, the adoption, the placing of the Son, huiothesios, the fullness of the Son has been placed in each of us. But his humility is so great that the emptiness has to be total. And so This isn't progression in terms of time. It's depth of repentance.
And that comes from failure, experience, pain, suffering, seeing that your way doesn't work.
Well, remember, there are three graces that God has given to all men to see God. The grace of Abraham. And all he did is say, I don't want to do that anymore. And it took him 100 years because he didn't learn anything, but it took him that long to unlearn because he always had the opinions about who was going to be the heir. So that's the dominant grace. And for some, it's the grace of Isaac. And it's instant revelation. And for some, it's the grace of Jacob. It's a struggle. And all three are in each one of us. But in each one, one is dominant. And the grace of Jacob is finally admitting to God who you are. You are the same. You are the way of the snake. And until you admit that to yourself and know it, then you're going to continually go back and forth, trusting your mind and your emotions and how you feel, how you think about things. And it's just goofy. And so, again, the only reason that time has gone on and is going on is because of the rebellion of his people. None of these, because the fullness is already, Christ is on the mercy seat. And Christ in you is on the mercy seat. But your mind must be renewed by emptying and by repentance till you fully apprehend and are apprehended by it. But repentance is the only key. It has nothing to do with what you're doing. It has nothing to do with what you think about stuff. But again, the power of this is the preaching of the cross. Never once giving any breath to the theology of glory, about your self-realization, or even about spiritual matters, even about learning about God. Everybody understand? Then the last exhortation, after you've overcome the wicked one here, is love not the world. Give breath to nothing in the world. Neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's never anything going on with you. The only question is, are you continuing with him in his temptation? Or do you think something is happening to you? What?
That's big in the internal struggle. The nature of man is to always think it's about the great or the little I am.
Well, that's the whole point of that's why. Your death is a predicate for Christianity. Now you're trying to die. You died a long time ago, and there's this guy that's been masquerading as you. It's called the Antichrist. It's called sin. It's called Jazaniah. It's called the beast. What?
These things take
Right, because he is rest.
The rest of the emotions, the rest of the intellect, the rest of the
let me remind you that he is peace, he is rest, he is sanctification, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's all those things. He doesn't give them to you. It's always, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, yet not I, yet not I. Right, and so the reason I brought that up is that there's only passages in rebellion.
Repentance too.
Hmm?
Repentance is going from to, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, that all that was finished 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So the again, we can never give breath to not being apprehended. That's philosophy.
If we do give breath to those things that don't fall under that, then we're
in rebellion.
Digging up our own life.
Right.
Starting.
You're building again the things which have been destroyed. You make yourself the transgressor because you've given breath to sin that dwelleth in you. Sin isn't what you do, sin is what you are.
And they were destroyed at the cross, not in my little lifetime.
Right. There's no passages.
Yeah, I think I always thought of it in terms of the little 60 some years I've been around. But I just thought the things that were destroyed.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, back to Luke. So that was a little sidebar about philosophy. You know how I love philosophy. Oh, yeah. All right. In verse 74 of chapter 1. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. We spent a lot of time yesterday in what serve. The word there is litrio. And it means service in the holy temple. What you do, if you just give breath to everything around you, then you are serving the wrong God. You think you're serving yourself, but you're serving the God of this world. It doesn't matter whether it's positive or negative. If you give any breath or any importance to what's going on about you, then you are serving. It's all holy service, but it's holy service to the wrong God, the God of this world. Amen?
Yeah, we're talking about oaths, and I was saying it's our oaths that prevent us from doing the service to God, serving our idols and
bowed to. And that's just silly. Without fear. The Greek word is aphobos. You know, we've got all these words that have that word phobia. It's agoraphobia, it's all those other phobias that psychiatrists and philosophers treat. Can't be treated. You can get an ease for a minute. I happened to watch a commercial for that a program on the Discovery Channel or A&E or somebody. It's about the hoarders. And then there's another one about the obsessive compulsive. And it's just, it's hard to believe.
Well, you have great hoarders of Babylon.
And the obsessive compulsive is even, you know, crazier.
I don't know what you're talking about. You saw
a promo for two programs that were, I think one's on Discovery and one's on Any or whatever it is. One is about it's called The Hoarders. So you go into your house and you can't even see.
Yeah.
Because you keep everything. And the other is about this phenomena called obsessive compulsive disorder. And both of them are fear-based. And there's that word phobia in the real name of it, but I can't remember what it is. And so the idea of perfect, we're going to see in a minute the scripture that's perfected love casts out all fear. You know, it may be necessary that psychiatric treatment is needed for a while. It may be necessary that, you know, drugs are needed for a while to combat these things. But spiritually, I think eventually perfected love will cast out all fear. So let's look at some scriptures. First, go to Romans 6. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. And every time the word sin is used in the scriptures, you can put self. Because sin, remember, we get the, remember how many, we've talked this many times, but in theology now, you get the word sin and the word trespass, they're used as the same thing, but they're not. This remember, there was a trespass offering, and that offering was for the trespasses that you did, or that you didn't do the right thing. And there was a separate trespass offering for that, for all those things that went on constantly in the temple. But then there was a mysterious sin offering. It was another offering altogether. And it's whatever it is, it's all of you. It's hoarding, it's obsessive compulsive, it's depression, it's the sin offering is again for what you are, not what you do. And so the sin offering is the least comprehended offering in modern Christianity, because they only deal with trespass. Well, if you only deal with trespass, then sin is still living in you. You understand? So we've talked many times that sin is shame. Sin is whatever makes you you. And so it can be dealt with by, you know, you can alleviate it. You can alleviate depression. You can alleviate obsessive compulsive. You can alleviate all these things with either therapy or with drugs, but it doesn't deal with them. It doesn't get them because you haven't dealt with you. Who can possibly believe that sin isn't what you do, it's who you are? What?
Well, I'm thinking these OCD and the hoarding is like the ultimate expression of trying to save your life. And it's a sickness. But that extreme of it is is only for us to see, it's no different that they do it obsessively. We do it
right.
non-obsessively. But that.
But again, who would conceive that those, the only way of dealing with those eventually is total and complete repentance, seeing that you are dead. That's a big deal. Okay, Liz. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live. It says that's with there, but the words is by him. We shall live by him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion. For in that he died, he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the agency of Jesus Christ our Lord. So you can't deal... Eventually, you can't deal with the symptoms. That's quackery. You must deal with sin. And sin is not what you do, it's who you are. And that died on the cross 2,000 years ago. There's this being masquerading as you all these years, and his name is sin. His name is the instead of Christ. His name is the Antichrist. His name is, his number is 666.
This hit me about the reckoning, because it doesn't matter whether you feel it or not. If you can reckon it, then it's God's business whether you feel it.
Yeah, go over to chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't want to do. But what I want to do, that I don't do. And what I hate, that's what I do. It sounds like I've been reading anybody's mail, or Paul has. Well, I know that's the advantage you have over most people, because then that can be dealt with, because that's shame. All right, listen. If I do then that which I don't want to do, that's a big deal. It's the biggest deal that you can go through at an early stage in your life. I mean, in your life as a believer. All of a sudden, you're finding out something that you never thought of before. If I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. I can remember the exact moment that happened to me. Because after the conversion experience, all of a sudden, I begin to hate what I was doing. Before, I didn't even think about it. I just did it. No, I can't. So it's huge that if you can if you if I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now this is the first step. And getting rid of fear. So then listen. If I do that which I don't want to do, I consent to the law that is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this isn't the cliche of the devil made me do it. It's the perfect understanding that your whole life, your who you are, is sin. And then you can run to the cross. But if you're still trying to do, trying to get better, trying to fix, trying to do, blah, 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 blah. It's just, you're just locked in this circle. And it just goes on. Oh, it's like that stupid computer of mine. It turns on and it goes through those old things, but it won't come up. And so then you do all this stuff and it does it again and it keeps doing this thing. You're locked in this circle. And you've been there your whole life. That's just crazy. Everybody understand? All right. I consent unto the law. Wait a minute. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. And that sin is that person. He's called the Antichrist. That's who you are. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do.
Here's where it's dangerous to preach circumcision. Because if you circumcise the flock, so to speak, they'll never come to the point of this revelation. They'll always be stopped.
They'll always want, they're going to do something else. All right. If I do, and again in verse 20. If I do that I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now this, you got to hear this next one. This is as big as it gets. I find then a law that when I want to or would do good, the evil one is present with me. Now what is good to you? To Ronnie, good is getting healed. To Ronnie, good is feeling better. I could go on, but I won't. When I want to do good, the evil one you've resurrected from the dead. That's why all the people that think they're doing something good are being deceived. We forget that the tree was not just the fruit of the tree of evil, it was the fruit of the tree of good and evil, or as Melito said, the tree that knows good and evil. So if you, this is why it's so critical, and I've said it over and over and over again, if you think that anything about you needs to change, anything in your circumstances needs to change, anything in your surroundings needs to change, anything in the world needs to change, then the evil one is still present with you because you haven't seen it's finished. And you're still giving breath. You're still eating off that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so you remain in this endless cycle. It never ends. Over and over and over. Oh, I had a good day. No, then I had a bad day. Oh. Listen. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, the mind of Christ, the mind that knows this, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And the answer is nobody. Because he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember, some of you, we've talked about this many times, but this, he's making reference to a particular form. That's right. He's making reference to a particular form of punishment in the Roman Empire. When they, for the most egregious crimes, like
child abuse and sexual things and all that. They would chain the person face to face to a dead body and not give him any food or anything. And so as he's chained face to face, toe to toe, hip to hip to the dead body, slowly but surely, as that body rots in front of them, and the stench is mind-blowing, overwhelming, and the maggots start crawling into your system, which is alive, and you start rotting. That's what Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death?" All of a sudden, praise God, I see the resurrection. I don't see it in the past. I see the resurrection of Christ in me. Now, for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. And anything else is just philosophical crap. Amen? That's why when the preaching is the hardest, the joy is greatest. Anybody have any response to any of this?
That's the good news, even though that's not the good news we want to hear.
No, it's good news to God. It's our worst news, if you pay attention to your mind. That's why all these people are, you know, all these people make so much money. These televangelists and stuff, oh, they're promising him, oh, you'll get money and you'll get healed and you'll get this and you'll get that. Well, that's just... it's just crap. It's lies. But your mind believes it. Oh, if I pray better, if I know how to pray, then I'll, God, blah, blah, blah. You're still dead. You're trying to put makeup on a dead body. What, John?
Yeah.
All right. That's enough for today. We didn't even get one verse today. Take a big breath.